From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
What a show we have for you today. Fox Sports baseball analyst Ben Verlander drops by. We'll talk about the major leagues, what's happening as we roll into August. Also, a new book by Ted Sobel talking about the Hall of Famers that he's met, including a couple of baseball ones. So we'll do that, plus foul or fair. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
All eyes were on Dodger Stadium Wednesday night. Yes, Max Scherzer making his Los Angeles Dodger debut against the Houston Astros. You know, I mean, this is what fans were waiting for, the big trade. The Dodgers were able to get Trey Turner and Max Scherzer from the Nationals, gave up a boatload of prospects, some really good young players. But the Dodgers are about now. They're trying to win now. It's not about down the road. It's about now. So this tells you a lot about where the Dodgers are and if he's going to be the missing piece. Because right now, if the Dodgers don't win the division, there's a good chance the Dodgers and Padres could play a play-in game, a one-game wild card game in order to advance in the playoffs. Just think about that. And would you want Max Scherzer on the mound for that one game? I think you would. So Dodger fans are excited about Scherzer, who's been a great pitcher, a guy I covered in Detroit years ago. And this will be interesting to see how he fits in. But as long as his arm is good, I think he'll fit in just great in Los Angeles.
Number two.
Speaking of the Dodgers, they're at it again. According to reports at MLB.com, they have agreed to a one-year contract with veteran left-hander Cole Hamels. That's right. When official, they say the deal will be worth $1 million, and Hamels would get an additional $200,000 for every start he makes. The deal hasn't been confirmed yet by the Dodgers, but that's what's out there now. So Hamels worked out for scouts last month. The Dodgers came away impressed enough to continue conversations with the left-hander. And even though, you know, they went out and added Scherzer and Danny Duffy at the trade deadline, the Dodgers still felt like they needed more pitching depth in the final 2 months. So Cole Hamels, who was a big-time performer, as we know, years ago, back in the fold. Again, the Dodgers just continue to flex their muscles, spend money, bring in players. They're trying to go back-to-back after that nearly 32-year drought of not winning a World Series. The Dodgers are all in.
Number three.
Are you ready for the 2022 season? On Tuesday, baseball announced the master schedule for the 2022 regular season, which will open up on Thursday, March 31st, with all 30 teams in action. That's right. So we already have the schedule all set up, and the opening day is jam-packed with intrigue. Schedule features 11 divisional matchups, in addition to one interleague showdown between the Phillies and the Astros at Minute Maid Park in Houston. Jackie Robinson Day, of course, is April 15th. And also the site of the 92nd All-Star Game will be on July 19th at Dodger Stadium. Remember, in 2020, the Dodgers were supposed to have the All-Star Game. It was canceled, so they will have it in 2022. And there it is. Baseball schedule for 2022 is already out. And can't wait. Well, I guess I can wait until after the postseason, but it's good to know where we're going to be in 2022.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast Ben Verlander. the former minor leaguer, brother, of course, of Justin Verlander, and a Fox Sports baseball analyst. Welcome to the podcast, Ben.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. Hey, let's just start with Tuesday night at Dodger Stadium, where Dodger fans went crazy and gave it to the Astros. Were they justified?
Yeah, man, look, I was there in the stands, and it was madness. It was just chaos. And to say were they justified, I would say no. I understand being frustrated, but as time has gone on, I think more and more players have come out and said, look, guys, what are we doing here? Many teams were doing something. Let's pump the brakes on that. And, you know, it seems like the most mad people are still the fans. And look, I understand Dodgers fans being frustrated, but to be there last night and to experience what was happening was crazy, man. It was scary being there. There were security guards everywhere. There were people getting beat up left and right just for being Astros fans. So I'll never say something like that was justified.
Yeah, booing. Obviously, we're not talking about the physical aspect or you know, touching people or fighting people. Of course, that's wrong. So I'm with you on that. Obviously, there was a big trade deadline. I mean, the Cubs clean house. I mean, I don't know. If I'm a Cubs fan, I can't get with the idea of getting rid of everybody. You know, all those guys who were, you know, a part of that magical World Series and whatnot. So did they do a disservice to Cubs fans, or did they have to do this, disband the whole thing and start all over?
I definitely believe they did a disservice. And I spoke about it on my podcast this week. And to be quite honest with you, as a guy that's not even a Chicago Cubs fan, I'm not even a fan of that team, if you will, and it's sad. And as a baseball fan, quite frankly, it pissed me off to see what happened. There's, you know, what we see more and more these days is owners treating players like they're numbers on a piece of paper. And it's frustrating to see, especially this is the core group that got them over the curse. It got them, you know, their first championship in forever. And it
in 100 years, right?
The way that yeah, exactly. And it just changed the Cubs organization forever. And to just ship them out when clearly guys like, especially Rizzo and Baez have said, look, if we're going to go through struggles, I want to be there. And the fans love them. So it just really frustrated me to see them not care about the fans, not care about the players, and just say, look, I think it's better for our future if we do this. And to be quite honest with you, it pissed me off the way it was all handled. And it's frustrating as a baseball fan.
Our guest is Ben Verlander from Fox Sports, a baseball analyst. And Ben, you know, the Yankees made moves. I wasn't sure what they were going to do. You know, they were out big time in the AL East, fourth place, third place. And they get Gallo and Rizzo, you know, two left-handed bats, which they needed desperately. Can they make a playoff run? They're playing better.
I'm with you. I was wondering what they'd do at the trade deadline. The Yankees are never going to be sellers. That's just not what they do. But I was wondering how aggressive they'd be. And they went out and got Gallo and Rizzo, which are two, when you look at that lineup, that's exactly what they needed. Two big left-handed bats, that can get on base a ton. That's what they do. They're on base percentage machines. But I don't love, you know, what they did at the deadline as a whole. I looked at the Yankees and I think, what is the glaring issue with this team? And it's pitching. And I think, why, what are they going to do pitching wise? And they did nothing, to be quite honest with you. They went out and the one move they made at the very end was Andrew Heaney. And you can't tell me he's the answer to the Yankees pitching problem. And we saw him the first game he pitched. He's not the answer. So I really wanted them to do something in the bullpen if they were going to go for it. They went out and made the sexiest moves they could. They got Gallo and Rizzo, two big profile guys that are great additions to the lineup. So in terms of what they did to the lineup, I love it. But in terms of what they did in the trade deadline as a whole, I wish they would have gone out and gotten some pitching because I really think that's what they needed.
Let's go to Detroit and Miguel Cabrera, Miggy, who, of course, I covered in Detroit for a long time. I worked there for 20 years. Your brother was a teammate. with Miggy, and you know, going into Wednesday night, he was two home runs short of 500, and we always knew he was going to get there and get his 3,000 hits. But where does he rank when you think of the like the great right-handed hitters, Albert Pujols, Manny Ramirez? I'm talking about modern day. Obviously, there's a lot of great right-handed hitters. But where does Miggy rank? I know the last couple of years he's been beat up. He hasn't had the same numbers, that he had before. But he's about to hit a big milestone.
Yeah, he is. And as you know, I know you're a guy that spent a lot of time and covered the Tigers, so I assume you're a big fan, and I am as well. I absolutely love Miguel Cabrera and everything he's done for the Tigers organization and for baseball. And when I think of where he is in terms of best right-handed hitters, especially in the modern era, I put him right up there at, you know, a top three guy for sure. You know, you look at Albert Pujols, who's kind of on the same timeline as him. Those guys are
Pujols
very,
probably
very similar.
Be one. No, Pujols not one.
Yeah, Pujols probably has to be one in my opinion. And their numbers are so close. So Miggy is definitely a top three right-handed hitter in my opinion. And in my bias puts him right. I'll put him neck and neck with Pujols, even though Pujols probably gets the edge. But I love Miggy and everything he's doing. And it's awesome to see him, you know, kind of these last couple months, he's been tearing the cover off the ball, and it's fun to see. And he's going to get 500 home runs here soon. And that's going to be a pretty, that's a big milestone, man. And I'm so happy for him and proud of him. And, I'm going to be pretty excited watching that one for sure.
I have a Hall of Fame vote. And for me, if you get 500 home runs, 3,000 hits or 300 wins, you automatically get my vote. I don't need to even look at the rest of your career. So, Miggy obviously will be getting my vote. Yeah, those numbers are just, if you stick around that long enough to play to amass those numbers, I think you're a Hall of Famer. All right.
So you're putting my brother in there, right?
There we go. I was going to ask you about your brother. And, you know, what's going on? What's the latest with Justin and his return to the major leagues? Help us out.
Yeah, he's things have gone really, really well for him, and he's in a really good place. He feels really good. I was actually just with him about a week ago, and he's really pleased with the way the recovery's coming. And look, Tommy John's something where there's no real, like, there's a timetable and there's no real beating it. You know, it's a very strenuous, long process. It's very regimented. And he's obviously nearing the end of that timetable. And I'm just happy to hear. And really, it really makes me somewhat emotional to get videos of him and see him back on a mound and throwing a baseball, because I know that's what makes him happy. And I know he's getting healthy. He's getting his arm back in good shape, and he's gonna be back. And I can't wait for that day.
His name is Ben Verlander. And Ben, your podcast, let everybody know where they can hear you.
Of course, yeah. It's with Fox Sports. It's called Flippin' Bats Pod on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. And it's all about just talking about baseball in a fun way and talking to players and just being a younger voice and kind of making these players seem human and having locker room type conversations with them. And so it's called Flippin' Bats Pod.
All right. We appreciate you, Ben. Thanks a lot.
Of course, man. I really appreciate you having me.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
On the heels of one of the craziest trade deadlines in history, the contenders who added one of the 23 former All-Stars who swapped teams will look to make their playoff push over the next 2 months. The Ringer's Ben Lindbergh had a fantastic breakdown of all the madness that transpired. According to Baseball Reference and their wins above replacement metric, there were more trades made in July, 62, and combined year-to-date WAR traded, 58.2, than any other year since the deadline was pushed to the end of July back in 1986. Considering the previous highs in trades were 46 in 2018 and 41.6 WAR in 2015, the 2021 deadline blew the other years out of the water. In total, 158 players or players to be named were moved by this year's deadline, easily blowing by the previous record of 128 in 2018, and 87 of those were big league players, just eclipsing the record of 84 set in 2000. We saw six top 100 prospects dealt, former Cy Young winners, former MVPs, former rookies of the year, gold glovers, hits leaders, postseason heroes. Hell, the Dodgers have 17 former All-Stars on their roster now, and you can bet whoever ends up on top in October will have made a big-time deal this past week.
Take out the papers and the trash!
Yeah.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's trash comes from Benjamin Patrick at KYFit. And he sent this, quote, "I would like to trash talk the Chicago Cubs brass. The long-suffering franchise breaks through after 108 years to win the World Series. Then 5 years later, they sell away every remnant of that glorious moment and historic season, including Chris Bryant." So there you go. Benjamin Patrick not happy with the house cleaning by the Cubs at the trade deadline. If you want your trash to be read on Inside the Parker, hit me up on my Twitter at RobParkerFS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast Ted Sobel, who's a longtime Los Angeles radio sportscaster and reporter. Also, he's written a new book called Touching Greatness, where he talks about the Hall of Famers and the legends that he's met throughout his years of broadcasting, including a number of baseball players. And Ted, welcome to the podcast. How you doing, buddy?
Great to hear your voice again, Rob. It's always fun to talk baseball or anything with you, man.
No doubt. Ted, tell me, what made you write this book? And were you just thinking about all the people you had covered over the years and said, hey, because on the cover of the book, you have a picture of you and Kobe, and there's Aaron Rodgers and Tiger Woods and Vin Scully and just a slew of great players. What made you write this?
Well, really, it's a combination of a lot of things, Rob. So many times people have said to me, you have a million stories about this guy and that person and this event. And, you know, I've been around the world covering Wimbledon and the British Open and the Masters and Triple Crown of horse racing, a little bit of everything, and so many World Series and Super Bowls. And they said, you have a million stories. Why don't you write a book? And I started taking a few notes about 20 years ago, put them on a bunch of just scratch sheets and threw them in a file in my drawer and forgot about it. And about 5 or 6 years ago, I thought, you know what? If I'm ever going to do it, I might as well do it now. Well, I still have my memory, too. So I just went at it. And when I put my mind to it, I don't stop. So it took me several hundred hours to do it. It was about a little over 3 years. And it's a culmination of, really, it's a prideful thing. It's, you know, it's a legacy type of deal. When you're gone, at least I left something. I don't have any kids.
Nice. No, I hear you, my man. Tell me about, Sandy Koufax is on the cover as well. Is he the greatest baseball player, would you say, that you've met? Or tell me your story with Sandy.
Well, you know, I don't know about the greatest baseball player because, as you know, and you know more about baseball than most for sure, I don't always consider a pitcher being an everyday player. Like, is he better than Babe Ruth or Henry Aaron? It's hard to compare that. But he's certainly one of the great pitchers I ever saw. And I got a chance to see him pitch in the World Series in 1965. I saw him pitch several stadiums. He's just a fascinating guy because He's very quiet, introvert kind of person. Doesn't want to give the media any time because he's just private. And that's the way he is, and that's the way he's going to be. And that makes his legacy even more fascinating. Just the fact he's mysterious. Nobody really knows what's going on inside Sandy Koufax because he doesn't tell us. So I think that will make him, and you know, every time there's a book or there's a picture, it's almost like, where's Waldo kind of thing. So he's a fascinating character, and I've had several interactions with him over the years, and he's just great to be around. He's one of those guys where you do, when you walk away, it's sort of almost a wow moment.
No doubt about it. Ted Sobel is our guest here on the podcast. He has a new book out called Touching Greatness, talking about Hall of Fame players he's covered over the years. Give me another baseball guy that you appreciated in meeting throughout your career.
Well, really, my favorite player, and I have a whole chapter on it as a kid growing up, is Don Drysdale of the Dodgers, of course. Drysdale was the first pitcher I ever saw that I recalled seeing in person at the Coliseum. He actually gave up home runs to Henry Aaron and Eddie Matthews in the first game I ever saw. And I'll never forget that, and it was really an incredible opportunity. The last time I saw Henry Aaron at Dodger Stadium in the World Series, when he was giving out the Hank Aaron Award, I call him Henry because Vin Scully called him Henry. I got a chance to tell him that the first game I ever went to was him holding him home run against the Big D, and he had such a smile on his face, and that was really a fun little quick shot we had down in the bowels of the ravine. But Don Drysdale was my guy growing up. I just loved the way he intimidated batters out there, and it just turned out to be one of those things where you were really lucky if you ever meet your idol. Well, in this case, and that's part of the premise of my book, there's a lot of people who have people that they look up to, whether it's in sports, music, entertainment, or politics or anything, and when you meet them, you're often disappointed, and I certainly was not disappointed with Don Drysdale. A fantastic guy, and just accommodating as a person. And I will never forget the many, many times that hang out with him in the press box at Dodger Stadium or in Anaheim. And, again, it's just a special moment when you can be appreciated by the person that you always looked up to.
Ted, last thing, you're always out there at Dodger Stadium. You cover the Dodgers. What about this franchise and what they did at the trade deadline? And have the Dodgers turned into the evil empire? Are they the new New York Yankees? they go spend big money. They had the blockbuster trade to get Turner and, of course, Scherzer from the Nationals. That shook up Major League Baseball.
Well, look, I guess a lot of our parents taught us, if you've got it, flaunt it. So that's what the Dodgers are doing. And as far as their money is concerned, you can't blame them. They're just trying to win. And certainly if you're on just a regular roster guy and you're thinking this team really cares about winning, that's important in the clubhouse, as you know. So, picking up Trey Turner and Max Scherzer is huge. Turner looks like if it works out, he could be the long haul guy at shortstop because Corey Seager's deal is going to have to be renewed soon, and he's got an injury history now, and I'm not so sure they want to give him a long-term deal. So that's going to be fascinating to see as we move forward. But right now, Max Scherzer is the guy that should be, when you had Trevor Bauer go out the way he did, and they lost a couple of their potential aces this year due to injury. So let's see how much he fits in. But the Dodgers, I don't know, evil empire, that maybe that's a little bit of a stretch. But people hate it when teams flaunt their money and able to win a championship because of it. But look, the Dodgers have been good for a long time now, especially the last decade. And why not go for it again?
All right. His name is Ted Sobel. His book, Touching Greatness. Pick it up, Ted. People can get it everywhere. Where can they pick up your book?
Right now, actually, it's not in bookstores yet. It's on Amazon and at the publisher's website at Coaches, COACHES, CoachesChoice.com. But Amazon's the place, and I hope everybody gets a chance to touch greatness with me.
All right. Thanks, Ted. Appreciate it. Good luck with the book, and thanks for the book. It's a good read.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Rob. We'll see you soon.
And what that ball is.
was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
J.R., Greg Allen has been a spark plug for the Yankees since being called up on July 16th. Is it foul or fair that with the addition of Joey Gallo and Aaron Judge returning from injury, that Allen has to be the fourth outfielder behind old man Brett Gardner?
That's foul.
That is a foul ball.
This obsession with Brett Gardner, who is over the hill and his best days way behind him, is unfathomable to me. The guy is in his 14th season, and he's hitting .199, for Christ's sakes. It's time to pull the plug and let the younger, more athletic, and hungrier player, Greg Allen, get his shot. In 44 at-bats, Allen has stolen 5 bases, and he's hitting a respectable .265. And he's been an obvious energy booster for the team. He's not a rookie. He's 28 years old and in his 5th season. He's just never really gotten a shot to play every day. The trade and a sore knee have slowed him down, but Girardi needs to find space for him. Was the Gallo trade even needed? Even Yankee fans and announcers understood that the metrics-based muck that has become the former Yankees dynasty needed a facelift. That's all they were talking about, is a need to get more athletic, get more speed, acquire more juice in the lineup. Then they went out and got Anthony Rizzo. Okay, he's slow as heck, but he's a baller and he stabilizes first base. But Joey Gallo, another boom or bust hitter, taking time away from a multidimensional guy like Allen, go figure. Yankees, play this man, Greg Allen. You're being stubborn and too worried about beating up on Giancarlo Stanton to focus on how to improve the team with players like Allen. They make a difference.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Reason number 1015 why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL, especially during this time, the NFL. Stop with how popular football is and all that. Most people never put on a helmet and never put on shoulder pads and have never been tackled, okay? But most people in this country have played baseball or softball or hit a ball or caught a ball, and that's why it's America's pastime. That's why when we watch in the Olympics, we see Olympic baseball. We don't see Olympic football. What? Most countries around the world, they don't even know what that is. Football is soccer. Baseball reigns supreme. It was born here. It's translated all over the world. Look at all the great players now coming in from all over Japan and all over South America. I mean, it's incredible how the game started by Abner Doubleday has resonated across the globe. Yes. Baseball is the national pastime. Do not forget that, all right? Football's about gambling. Oh, I'm sorry. Football's a great game, my second favorite, but baseball will always be number one. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.